Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50.
This week, our program begins an examination of losing our parents in later life.
Our guest today is Alexandra Kennedy, who literally wrote the book on this topic. She is the author of 5 books, including Losing a Parent, Passage to a New Way of Living. Welcome to the program, Alexandra.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you again.
We are so happy to have you with us again. It makes intuitive sense that losing a parent in later life would be different from losing a parent when one is young. Is this true? And if so, what are the differences?
First of all, I want to say that the loss of a parent, no matter what the age of the person, is a major life passage. So I want to start with how the loss of a parent shakes us up and then talk a little bit about the differences. When a parent dies, it shakes the foundation of our lives, and we lose a part of ourselves, someone who, you know, was responsible for molding our identity as a child, who still has the prime access to our childhood, the memories, and it's also a loss of a safe haven, safety net. When the baby boom generation started losing their parents, it wasn't really understood the impact of the loss of a parent. And as researchers started to work on this, they began to realize how impactful it was. Andrew Sharlock at UC Berkeley found that 62% of people who had lost a parent were still feeling anxiety and sadness 1 to 2 years afterwards, and 40% were still having physical symptoms. So that's something I see over and over again with clients coming in, that the impact of a parent is much more profound than what has been universally expected. It's also an existential crisis where we face our own mortality, that we're next in line, and it brings up a lot of sense of aloneness and painful questioning. Also creates a lot of changes in the family, and it's a great stressor on partnerships and marriages. And as we lose a parent, we grieve for the parent that we had, but we also grieve for the parent we never had. And that at the point we lose a parent, we're letting go of the hope that someday, somehow, that relationship will become more intimate or the breakthroughs will happen. That when a parent dies, we have to let that go. So what happens in later years versus losing a parent in childhood is that often you've gone through maybe a period of caregiving, and there can be the exhaustion from having devoted a lot of your energy toward taking care of that parent, almost a reversal of roles. And there's a sense of identity that builds around caretaking a parent and a sense of purpose, that when that parent dies, there's often a feeling of loss of purpose, of feeling, what do I do with my life now? This has been the center of my life for these years. And then it makes a difference in terms of, is it the first or second parent that's dying? And the first parent, often there's a sense of shock and of a whole experience of the foundation being shaken. And with the second parent, there's a feeling, often people describe as feeling like an orphan. So I think that as we age, we've had some experience with loss, and hopefully in our later years we begin to develop some of those strategies for grieving or ways of grieving that we're able to actually turn toward it and face it.
You wrote, "Death ends a life but not a relationship." How does the relationship continue after our parents die?
Well, I think that my experience with dealing with grief is that there is this ongoing interrelationship that continues after the death of a parent. So I really encourage and talk to clients about that interrelationship and encourage them to write letters to that parent, to decided imagery exercises of, for example, a rose opening, and inside the rose, there's the parent, and you go to meet them. And you talk about, you know, the things that are unresolved. You say goodbye to them if you never had a chance to say goodbye. You talk about the things that you want to carry forward from that relationship. I think that that's one of the key ways that people can heal relationships that are often complex and many layered. And there's often unresolved issues in the relationship with a parent. And it's through that interrelationship that we have an opportunity to really begin to heal.
One of the things you say is, how can we tap into the power of grief to transform our lives, open our hearts, and awaken us to a deeper participation in the world? Can you say a little bit more about that?
one of the ways that I've found, and this was the difference between when my father died and my mother died, because by the time my mother died, I had really integrated this strategy of grieving into my life, and it made a huge difference. And that's creating a sanctuary, which is a special time and place that you set aside each day for really turning toward that grief. And it can be 10 to 20 minutes. It doesn't have to be a long time. In fact, I find that people, if they try to grieve 24 hours a day, they start to shut down. So if you create a time and place, you know, you could even have an altar there with a candle, a picture of your parent, things that maybe remind you of that parent. And once a day, you sit down and for 10, 20 minutes, you turn toward that grief. You close your eyes and feel where that grief is moving in your body. Feel the feelings that are moving through you. It's an acknowledgement in that moment, this person has died. And I think it takes a while for that reality to sink in. There's a whole psychic readjustment to being on this earth without that parent being alive. Beginning to trust that grief has its own wisdom, and it'll take us where we need to go to heal if we can just turn toward that and trust it. So the sanctuary becomes a place that we turn toward the grief, we turn into it, we go down into the grief, we allow it to move us, we trust the messages that it's giving us. And then at the end of that time, and this is very important, we let it go. Because grieving is really about letting go, and grief itself is something we have to learn how to go into, experience it, deepen into it, and then let it go. So at the end of that 10 to 20 minutes, we let that go, and we turn toward our daily life. So we really train ourselves in a way to go into the grief and let it go, and go into the grief and let it go, and go into the grief and let it go. And in that process, we begin to trust that grief is something that's not going to overwhelm us, that we can actually deepen into it deep enough to actually heal, because grief is really a downward movement. It does need that depth to heal. You can't just stay at the surface and really heal grief. So the sanctuary, I think, becomes a pivotal strategy for experiencing life. We're not shutting life out while we're grieving, but we're giving the grief its time and creating a sacred place for that.
Alexandra, I will spend some time thinking about your comment, grief has its own wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to thank you for sharing your wisdom about grieving the loss of our parents. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the link to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to our website at chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week, and we hope you will be too.